Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, with our text being from Ephesians 4, verse 32, just reminding you of those words, and be kind to one another. Not sure what you are thinking as we start the sermon this afternoon, a sermon entitled Raising Kind Kids and Being Kind Ourselves. Some of you might be thinking, we need this. Our kids need this. Or we need help as parents. We need to learn to be kind ourselves. Some of you might be thinking that way. Others of you might be thinking very differently, as in, why a whole sermon on kindness? What for? Oh, kindness is important. We all understand that. But a whole sermon, is that really necessary? Just be kind. Simple as that. Think of the sign that I sometimes see when I drive down Victoria at the 20 Valley School. Many times when I've driven by, I've seen on that sign, be kind. So let's just do that. We don't need a sermon. And maybe not. Though having said that, on reflection, isn't it true that kindness is not always so common? The very fact that someone thinks that it should be on the 20 Valley sign is a reminder or a suggestion, at least, that sometimes kindness is lacking. Or certainly that kindness needs to be encouraged. And if Paul has to call for it like he does in this passage, there must be something about us that we need reminding, we need encouraging. If we think of the way people can be so angry at each other, and we've all seen this, the way we can sometimes be to one another, at home, at school, at work, on the road, in the community, yes, even sometimes in the church. Are we always so kind? What's more, isn't it hard sometimes to be kind? Well, here's how I came to this subject and to this text. In our study of the commandments, as was mentioned before, what's before us now is the sixth commandment, the one that says, you shall not murder. And what's in view is if we might ever be tempted to take someone's life, maybe because we are angry or we hate them or we want to get revenge. Well, of course, we know that's wrong. There's a place for lawful killing. That's true. The Bible speaks about that. Cases of capital punishment or just war, that sort of thing. But never may we freely, unlawfully, at random, take someone's life. And hopefully none of us is guilty of that. And we may be thankful when that's so. Regretfully, we have all been angry, sometimes maybe even very angry, maybe even have nursed grudges, and that to our shame. And we must acknowledge, even as our Lord Jesus teaches in his Sermon on the Mount, such things are akin to murder and deserve judgment. We know, too, that we should never take our own life, and we know also that we ought to do all we can to steward our life and to use our life, even with all our weakness and shortcomings, to use our life for the glory of God and for the good of our neighbor. Well, all right, we know that. But the point for this afternoon is that there is still so much more with regard to the sixth commandment. We can say it like this. What the Lord has in mind with this commandment is not only that we never murder others or ourselves. That's the negative. But at the same time, the positive, what we ought to do, among other things, the word is kindness. We ought to show kindness. We ought to live lives of kindness. We ought to demonstrate all kindness towards our neighbor, as we can read so clearly in the text, and be kind to one another. That's quite a thing. As just mentioned, we maybe don't do this as often as we think we do. And what's more, truthfully, we may find it much harder to do than we first thought. And so the great question is, how do we work this out? How do we work it out for ourselves and for our families? How do we raise kids, kind kids, kids to be kind? Let's remember that to be kind means to be good, good-hearted and good-doing, and that one to another, and be kind to one another. So that's for us all to be busy doing in life, and for our children, thinking of you parents too, new parents, isn't this also something for you with your sons, raising them to be kind? Now, maybe you've hardly thought of that, still getting on your feet and getting used to the routine and responsibilities before you. But what do you want for your sons? And what should you want? And of course, many things. We all have many aspirations for our children. We want them to be healthy, and we want them to grow, and we want them to learn and become educated and take their place in society and use their gifts well and maybe get married and for sure belong to the church and belong to the Lord and live to please Him and praise Him. And you see, in view of that also, this comes into view, kindness. Because the Lord says, and be kind. And so we also ought to want to raise kind kids and to be kind ourselves. I think we'll all find there's easily a sermon here. Let's listen with God's help, noticing first of all how God calls for kindness. So three big points. Number one, God calls for kindness. That's clear enough in the text, and be kind. So our catechism makes a point of it as well. When it works out what it means to obey the sixth commandment, don't murder, that's the negative. Here's the positive, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself, show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, quoting from the catechism, and all kindness towards our neighbor. It's a command. God commands, calls for kindness. And if we think about what that means, well, we can say several things. For example, kindness is opposite to what we find just prior to our text. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, Paul says this, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice or meanness." So we're not to live that way. We're not to have those attitudes. We're not to display those behaviors. We're not to be those kind of people. Instead, we're to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's the life we're called to live. Now, in my study this week, I found a very nice explanation of kindness. And I found it in John Calvin's commentary on this text. I really like it that I found it in John Calvin. We sort of have these high academic theoretical views of John Calvin. You know, he was this scholar tucked away in his study or this great preacher, but he studied the Bible and he sought to live out the Bible. And listen to what he says about kindness. I think you'll find this helpful, if not convicting. Kindness, he said, is gentleness of countenance, language, and manners. Gentleness of countenance, language, and manners. In other words, it means a gentle face, gentle words, and gentle conduct. That means you can see kindness, and you can hear kindness, and you can experience kindness. A gentle face, gentle words, a gentle manner, or gentle conduct. Isn't that helpful? And that's how we're to live, truly and always. That's what God is calling for when he says, and be kind to one another. So if we think this through a little bit, if we think of our various relationships, let's start at home. What we want to see in our children is that gentle face. And we want to hear gentle words. And we want them to display gentle conduct. So that means no hard, angry faces. No eyes of hatred, not to siblings, not to parents. It means no disrespectful words, no hurtful names, no yelling, no cursing, never. It means no wild, reckless, out-of-control behavior, no punching, kicking, biting, planning and scheming to get even, trying to make someone falter and fall. None of that, no, but looking with love and care to one another. And speaking tenderly and patiently and affectionately. And if there is a need, now thinking of parents especially, if there's a need to speak firmly, and sometimes we need to speak firmly with our children in discipline, or maybe in interpersonal relationships as adults, sometimes there are things that need to be addressed. You know, showing kindness doesn't mean ignoring problems or just letting ourselves be walked over in some sense. We have to discipline children. We have to deal with real issues. But as we discipline or as we deal with real issues, learning to do so without a hardness in our face and without an edge in our voice and without any behavior or manner that is in any sense threatening. And what is more, this kindness is about an overall quality of living that seeks to bless other people and build them up, and most of all in the Lord. It's Christian kindness. It's kindness with God in view, with Christ in view. It's kindness that shows itself in treating people with respect and dignity and compassion and faithfulness. It is a rich Christian virtue, and it is beautiful to see. And it is called for here in this text, and be kind. Well, we're to be that way at home, as was mentioned. It can be hard at home. That's where it needs to start. That's where we need to shine, even. We can think of it like that. But also with friends, at school, at work, and in the church, and with each other. Who can hear all this and not be humbled and convicted? Don't we have to admit the truth that often we're not kind or not like we ought to be? All kids among us, isn't this true? All children listening, I hope children, you try to listen to the sermon. Just listen now especially too. And young people, are you always kind one to another? Kind to your brothers? Kind to your sisters? Kind to your family? What happens when someone's in the bathroom in your house and meanwhile you want it, you need it? How do you respond? Are you always so patient and so kind? No problem, I can wait. Imagine coming to the breakfast table and everyone likes waffles, but today only one waffle is left. And after that, it's plain toast. How easy do you find it to say, I don't need the waffle, someone else can have it? Or what is the overall spirit of your conversations or your interactions? Is it marked by kindness? What about at school and with friends and classmates? Isn't it true that it can be easy to be unkind if you're grumpy or if you're jealous? Or if you're in a hurry, or if someone gets in your way, or someone bugs you, or ignores you, or whatever else it might be, how easy it is to respond with unkindness, maybe to mumble something mean, or maybe to say it loudly and rudely. Or nowadays, you take out your phone, and with social media, you can so easily hurt someone online, a nasty post, an angry comment. Unkindness is so natural as sinners. But not only kids and young people, but what about us adults? We should not too easily give ourselves a pass. How kind are we in family life? How kind are we, if we are married, how kind are we to our spouse? Is it not true that sometimes in marriage, in that most intimate of human relationships, sometimes as husbands, we can be unkind in our face, with our words, in our overall conduct. Wives too. And then, of course, with our children. How challenging sometimes to be patient with their struggles or their fears. Or else with the fact that they're kids and still growing up. How challenging always to be kind. Maybe sometimes, maybe many times, but always consistently kind. You know, Paul doesn't say here, and make sure you do random acts of kindness one to another. I mean, anyone can do that. Even society as a whole can participate in that. Random acts of kindness, whenever you feel like, whenever it suits, whenever it's convenient. That's not what Paul says. He's talking about consistent kindness, hour after hour, day after day, week after week. And what about with friends and neighbors, outside our home, outside our family, or colleagues at work, or here in church? Has it ever happened, even among us perhaps, that sometimes between ourselves there have been hard looks, not nice words, disrespectful behavior? Maybe something comes to your mind. And the fact is, consistent kindness is challenging. None of us is good at it by nature, none of us. It is so much easier to be unkind, and left to ourselves, we can be experts at unkindness, not kindness. And all this, therefore, humbles us, or it should, and convicts us, and drives home the point that this call to kindness matters. It is so relevant. We need to hear it in the Word of God. It needs to be something we think about personally and as families and as a congregation, living out all kindness in life. So how do we raise kind kids? How do we be kind ourselves? It starts with remembering and repeating. God calls for it. Our text needs to be etched into our minds and hearts every day. And be kind to one another. God calls for it. Are we telling this to our children? Notice, not just like the school sign. Be kind. Be kind. I mean, we can all say that. It's more than that. God calls for kindness. How important that is, because it highlights that we must be kind. You know, we don't have a choice. Failure to be kind is sin. And of course, failure is all we find left to ourselves. That's also important to see. As we teach this, as you teach this, parents, we need to understand that we cannot be kind as we ought to be. We cannot fulfill this commandment of God. Not a one of us does, not a one of us can. How important that is to see, because it's part of raising kind kids and being kind ourselves. We need to understand God calls for it. We need to live with a sense of obligation, but we also need to live with the reality of our guilt and impossibility left to ourselves. I ought to be kind, but I don't want always to be kind. And I cannot be kind. And I'm not kind. Do you understand that? Do you echo that? But we don't only confess that God calls for kindness. Something else, very important, moving to our next point, God's shown kindness. God's shown kindness. We find this in the last part of the text, Ephesians 4:32, where to forgive one another, it says, that's part of kindness, by the way, forgiveness, part of kindness. We're to do that even as God in Christ forgave you. So God in Christ forgives us. Now we know all about that. We've been long taught that. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The amazing reality that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus came into this world. And what he did was seek and save sinners. And what he did was suffer and die for sinners. And what he did was rescue and redeem sinners. Jesus did that. He did that as Son of God, sent by God, sent into this world. As I said, we know this. But listen to the way Paul describes this elsewhere as kindness. God's kindness. Listen to these words from Titus 3, verse 4. Back in Titus 3, verse 3, Paul writes about all people by nature, and he gives a list of very negative descriptors. He says, we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived. We served various lusts and pleasures. We lived in malice, meanness, envy, hating one another. That's not a very nice picture of man. True picture, it's not a nice one. But then we get verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, he saved us. And then Paul explains that further in terms of the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus did and the way the Spirit applies, and how that results in the salvation of every believer, every sinner who turns to the Lord and trusts in him leads to eternal life. But here's the point for us. What was it that prompted God to do this? What was it that prompted the Father to send the Son and the Son to give himself and the Holy Spirit to come along and make it all click? What was it that animated God to do this? It was kindness. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Divine kindness. God has shown kindness. That's what Christmas highlights. That's what Good Friday is all about. That's what Easter confirms. That's what the whole gospel proclaims. God is kind. And he's kind to people like us, sinners like us, who are so unkind. Unkind to others, unkind to him. Isn't that true? Think of how with every sin, what are we doing? We're showing to God a hard face. With every sin, we are speaking to God mean words. With every sin, our whole body language is one of resistance and negativity towards the living God. We're rebels and we want him to know it. But he turns to us a gentle face. He in the gospel speaks to us gentle words. And he through his beloved Son responds to us with kindness, mercy, grace, and goodness. He is kind. Think of how this was manifest in Jesus. You can trace it out in the Gospels over and over. But just remember when people came to him in need. They were suffering. They were sick. They were sad and grieving. They were caught in their sin. Over and over and over again, he deals so gently. He says, come to me. I am meek and lowly. I am gentle in heart. And through him, therefore, we can receive forgiveness. And through him, we can be renewed. And we'll get more into that in a moment. But the point is, it's all kindness. It's all incredible, amazing kindness. Think too of the way he deals with us personally. For example, when he showers us with earthly and material blessings, and here the list is endless, really. How many good things we enjoy. And when we have the gift of family, and when we have the gift of friends, and when we may belong to the church, and when we have all the promises of God, and when God is so near to us in times of trouble. You know, over in Romans 2, verse 4, Paul, he says about all these blessings, he speaks about the riches of God's goodness, and literally you could translate the riches of his kindness. And he says in Romans 2, verse 4, did you know that that kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? All the kindness we receive, all the mercies and gifts and more, he means by them to lead us to himself. He's so kind. By the way, maybe some of us still need to see that. If we are at all enjoying the gifts and the blessings and the kindness of God, but not repenting, maybe not seeing why God has blessed you so much, or maybe seeing it but holding back still. If you're someone who doesn't want to give up your supposed independence and freedom, be careful. You cannot take all the goodness, all the blessings, all the kindness, and still live in rebellion. He won't show kindness forever. The day of grace will eventually come to an end. Let his goodness, let his kindness, let all the riches he's shown you and showing you even now lead you to repentance today. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But think too of his covenantal kindness. Kindness in the gospel, kindness in all of life, kindness in and through his covenant. And here I refer to what just happened a few moments ago with the baptisms of these two boys. When the living God, through the sacrament, extended his kindness, not just to you, but to your sons. See, baptism is not simply something the church does. Baptism is something God does. The triune God, as we spoke about earlier. The Father pledging to be Father. The Son pledging to be Savior. The Spirit pledging to make his home in our children. Yes, the triune God said just moments ago to Charlie and to Rhett that he will be their Savior and their God even forever, and that they must seek him, they must call out to him, they must trust in him. And what is this? It is the kindness of God. He has shown kindness and he is showing it now. And when he works in us through his word and spirit, and when he speaks to us like he's doing in these moments, and when he's teaching us and directing us and calling us and drawing us, and we feel our hearts being led to him and wanting to unite with his so that we respond in faith, hope, and love. You know, what is happening there? God is being kind. He shows kindness. Is this not a point to rejoice in? If when we hear his call to be kind, we're humbled, when we see his display of kindness, let us be glad. And something also to reinforce for ourselves and with our children. And when we hear the call to be kind and we see our many failures, and maybe our children see them too, our failures and their failures, and we think to ourselves, whatever can happen now, look to God's kindness. Look to his kindness in Jesus Christ, whereby we may be forgiven that first. And then don't miss all the other kindnesses he shows to us in our life and the kindness he packs into his covenant promises. Also as displayed so tenderly in these moments with these two little boys. You know, what do they have? They have nothing. You have to hold them. You have to carry them. They get fussy. I mean, they get needy. They're just so helpless. And God says, but I notice them. And here's my kindness to them. And he has said it to you. He said it to us all. Here's my kindness to you. We have to tell our children these things. And we have to remember them for ourselves. How crucial this is if we are to raise kind kids and be kind ourselves. Don't only know the commandment. Know the gospel context. God calls for kindness. And God has shown kindness. And you know, wonderfully, it doesn't stop there. Going now to our last point, God enables kindness. God enables kindness. See, we can say to our children, listen, you're not kind and you can't be kind. We all fail to be kind, but in Christ there's forgiveness. And that's amazing, but not only that, through the Spirit, we can learn to be kind. The world can say be kind all at once, they'll never achieve true kindness. But in the gospel and through the Spirit, we can hear the call and begin to obey the call because God enables it. Now, what does that mean? Well, here we have to look back in our text passage to verses we read earlier, Ephesians 4:20, all about learning Christ and learning from him and through him to put off the old man or the old nature. You could say our unkind nature, putting it off. We learn that from Christ and through Christ. And we learn in verse 24 to put on the new man, which is the Christian man, including kindness. And we learn that from Christ and through Christ. We learn it by way of his word. His word renews our mind. And we learn it by the power of the Holy Spirit, of whom we read in verse 30, that he has sealed us for the day of redemption, which refers to the fact that when we are believers, you know the Spirit of God comes to live in us. And among other things, this is what he does on behalf of Christ and to the glory of God. He teaches us and he works in us to be kind. He convicts us when we are not kind. And he leads us to himself or to Christ who forgives us. And he strengthens us out of Christ to begin to obey the command. And he fills us with holy energy and power in dependence on the Spirit. We can learn to be kind. God enables kindness. Just before the service, I was reminded of R.C. Sproul and had to look it up just to make sure. But on his grave, he's passed away now, leader in the Reformed churches, but on his grave down there in Florida, it says, maybe some of you know this, it says, he was a kind man, redeemed by an even kinder Savior. That's beautiful, isn't it? That's this whole sermon. Sproul was a kind man. He became a kind man through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, a far kinder Savior who redeemed him and then taught him and enabled him, R.C., to become kind. And so we may say to our kids, even as we encourage ourselves, look, whenever we're convicted of any unkindness or whenever we're tempted to be unkind, or find it hard to be kind, consistently kind. What do? Where do we go? Do we, you know, just try harder? Come on, kids, try harder. No, trying harder is never enough. We don't have it in us. We go to God. We point our children to God. We point ourselves and we point them. We say, Lord, help us. Father, help us. Jesus, help us. Spirit of God, help us. And you know what will happen many times is this. The Lord will somehow remind you of what he has done for you, how kind he has been to you and still is. And it is kindness you can never repay. But it is kindness so overwhelming and wonderful that through the power of the Spirit working in you, you want to emulate, imitate, reflect that kindness because it's beautiful, because it's right. And he will give you that holy resolve and he will help you with holy strength so that the next time someone's in the bathroom and you need it, or there is only one waffle for breakfast, or someone in your home or family or circle is having a bad day and being difficult, or someone has disappointed you, overlooked you, or offended you, doesn't matter, whatever else happens, you will still seek to be kind and you will aim to show kindness, a gentle face, gentle words, gentle manner. And God enables you. That's what we learn. God enables kindness. And so this is how we go about raising kind kids and being kind ourselves. We don't look in, we look up. We don't look to ourselves, we look to God. We don't simply tell ourselves to be kind, but we remember, we teach, and we reinforce. God calls for it. God's shown it. And God enables it. And you know, the more these truths sink in and begin to be part of our thinking and living, all the more we will learn to bow our knees before this ever-kind God and be so in awe of Him and be in prayer to Him. Also and especially on this point, kindness. Help us. Help us, Lord, let's say. And He will. And so more and more in our life, this too, kindness will abound in our life. And by the grace of God, we may see it in our children as well. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious, good, and kind God, we pray that you will make it true of all of us, that it may be said about us, we are kind people, redeemed by an even kinder Savior. We confess to be convicted by your word. We thank you that we may be comforted by the gospel. And we pray now to be challenged by the Holy Spirit through his renewing work in our life to go forth seeking to be kind, raising our kids to be kind. Help us, O Lord. We can do nothing apart from you. Bless this word. Bless us as we go from here. Lead us and guide us in all our ways. Keep us from sin and forgive our sin. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.